Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and glory.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We just come to praise you because you're so worthy, Lord. You're so worthy of our praise. You're so worthy of the honor and the glory, and we give it all to you. Hallelujah. Hi, baby. How are you today?
Good morning. It's such a blessed day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. We will rejoice. In fact, we are rejoicing and glad in it just because of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Just so much to be thankful for. Just so much. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're just so happy to be here today to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we're so excited, as in every week, we have an awesome testimony that's going to go forth today with our brother Douglas Brown. And we're just giving God the praise and the glory that is due his name. I'm so glad that Sister Adrienne opened up this avenue for us to give God this glory that is due him.
Yeah.
We are under the umbrella of New Destiny Ministry, where the host and, I say, pastor, Adrienne Bernard, evangelist Adrienne Bernard, is the host and the pastor. And we just praise God for her. And we want to say to our internet listeners, good morning and God bless you. And don't keep your testimony from us. You can go to our website, our email actually, and send us your testimonies if you're a little shy about being on the radio. You can go to theyovercame2013@gmail.com and leave us your testimonies and your name and your number if possible. We won't put you, we won't call you or anything unless you have an awesome testimony. We want to convince you to come on and give it yourself. But other than that, we'll just read the testimonies for you. And it's theyovercame, the number 2013@gmail.com. And we're going to open up with prayer. Honey, would you pray for us this morning?
Amen. Let us all just look to the Lord. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. Honor you. Hallelujah. To your name be all the glory. Oh, for you are so worthy, Lord. You are so worthy, and we just look to you today because we have no other source. We can look high or low. No matter where we go, we find that there is none like you, Lord. None as great as you, none as powerful as you, none as faithful as you, none that cares about us like you do, not a closer friend that we can find, hallelujah, not a deliverer like you anywhere. In the name of Jesus, nothing else that we can depend on like you, because you have just proven yourself faithful over and over and over again. Had it not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you for peace. We thank you for health. We thank you for strength. We thank you for keeping us even as we slept and waking us this morning. Lord God, we just have so much to thank you for. And we take this time right now to say, Lord, we love you. Lord, we appreciate you. Lord, your name be glorified and magnified throughout all the earth. In the name of Jesus, Father, this broadcast today, let your words that go forth be anointed. Bless those who speak. Bless every ear that is listening. Hallelujah. We thank you for the testimonies that show and demonstrate just how good and faithful and awesome and loving that you are, that we have hope. And it's in you. When all else seems to give way, you are our hope and stay. And we just look to you right now, Lord God, to let your words go out and bring healing and deliverance and bring hope. Hallelujah. Healing in marriages, healing in relationships, healing in bodies. Hallelujah. Healing in our minds, comfort and peace in the name of Jesus. Those who are lonely, let them understand that they are not alone. Those that are down, let them know, hallelujah, that you can bring them up, lift them up. And we just thank you for these words that are going forth today. And bless, Lord God, even those that speak and testify. Lord, give them even more graciousness. Give them more power. Give them more venues to share your goodness, Lord God, and then bless them mightily, Lord God, for being faithful to you, for you have been so faithful, Lord God, and we just love you. Hallelujah. Bless the hosts of this show, our overall host, Evangelist Bernard, and our host this morning. Hallelujah. Bless right now. Give the desires of their hearts, Lord God, and every listener that has listened in this morning, and even that will tune in the archives, hallelujah, in the future as they look back and listen in. Lord God, let them be blessed through the words that they hear, hallelujah. Let them be encouraged to go on a little further. Let them be encouraged to seek you, to come and find you in the name of Jesus, and they will find rest. They will find peace. They will find healing. They will find deliverance. Hallelujah. They will find their way in you because you said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. In the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God, for all things, and we just look forward to what you're going to say to us on this day. Speak, Lord, for your servants and your here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, honey, for that powerful prayer. And we just want to say happy birthday to our grandson, Jonathan. He's making four today, and we thank God for him. Thank God that, you know, he blessed us to have him in our family. He's a handful. I'm keeping him these days, and it's so funny running after him and running and playing with him, but I just thank God for him. And Granny and Granddaddy wish you a happy birthday, John. So we're not going to labor any longer, or not labor, but waste any more time. We're going to bring our guest on. This is Brother Douglas Brown, and he has a awesome testimony for the Lord this morning. Are you there, Brother Douglas?
Yes, I am. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful. Bless.
Amen. 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 I do not personally know this young man, but I have met him. I met him. He lives in Chicago. And I met him when I was there visiting my family, visiting a friend, and that's how I know him, through a cousin of mine. And he introduced me to him, and he just has an awesome testimony. And when I heard about him and heard about his testimony, I told Derek, I have to have him on. He has to come on so that the people of God can hear about our saving and delivering God that we serve. Amen, amen, amen. So, Brother Douglas, tell us a little bit about yourself before you, well, everything is a testimony, but before you get into the meat of your testimony, are you married?
I'm
having
married.
Children?
I have a son that's 30 years old. I have a daughter that's 11 years old. She acts like she's 20 years old, but she's only 11. me and my wife been together 26 years. God is so good because I have took that woman through some things. But by her being faithful and working with me, we have been living sanctified and holy for the last 12 years together as she led me back into her life again. God is just good, you know. Without him, there is no me, you know. I had to go through some things. I had to endure some hardships, but if it don't kill you, it makes you stronger. So, I am just thankful and humble for any opportunity I get to tell anybody about my testimony. Anytime I get to stand before God, speak with them, I get to talk on this radio show, and I just thank you because I did meet you in a peculiar situation because your cousin was doing his first trial sermon. And
yes,
he was so unsure of himself. And we were sitting out in the car praying, and I was just telling him, just let God have his way. God's word is already black. And I really believe he's done a wonderful job that night. And so that's what I really believe I met you.
Yes, yes, I remember that. I remember that. And I remember you when Derek told me who you were. He described you to me. And I said, I remember because you guys were sitting in a Cadillac and praying and talking. Yes, I remember. And I said, yeah, I remember him. I'm a big guy. And he said, that's him. That was
him. I'm about 6'2".
365
Big man. Hard to forget me. Once you meet me, you'll never forget me. I leave a lasting impression.
Amen. 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 And who is your pastor? Tell us a little bit about the ministry, because I know you're very active.
My pastor is
very active.
Apostle Kellen L. Vessel. Her name is Dr. Apostle Kellen L. Vessel. She's from the Way of Life Church International. But I also fellowship with Pastor Nathaniel Randall at my mom's church, the church I come out of, the church where it all began, Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. So I fellowship with both ministries.
Go ahead.
Yeah, also in the outreach ministry with another pastor friend of mine. We go out every third Saturday and just evangelize in the streets of Chicago, wherever the group might be needed. It's like a co-labors in Christ ministry. It's a lot of different denominations. But what we do is we attack the devil right in his face. We just up in his face. You know, we got a crack house somewhere. We get to that too. You know, so it's just serving God. I'm a servant of God. It ain't always been that way. So I'm making up, you know, for some lost time.
Yes. Amen. Well, I'm not going to hold you back any longer. I was just going to say you raise a child up in God, the scripture says, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Hallelujah. So we just thank God in that.
And that's why I can begin right now.
Amen.
I'll tell you like this. I started going to church 1974. My mom made us get up every day. Every Sunday, you had to go to Sunday school, or you had to go to church, or that week you stayed home, there was no TV, there wasn't ever reading the Bible because you didn't think it was good enough to go to church. So I said, okay, I'm going to church. By me being the oldest of five kids, I would set the pace. I'd get up, I would go to church. Now, we all went to Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. But I decided I wanted to go to Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. That way I didn't have to be with my brothers and they didn't have to see me if I didn't feel like going to church. So I used to get up, go to church, and go right past the church, not knowing that my mama had friends in Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church, not knowing that the people talked to each other. I would get my little old 56 and go right past Antioch and go to Shiloh and go right past that to the candy store. And then end up over in the schoolyard. I would never go to church. I get home and my mom said, hey, Doug, how was church? And I said, oh, it was great, Mom. I had a good time. And she said, oh, you did, huh? I said, yes, ma'am. I had a wonderful time. She said, what you learned today? I said, we just learned about God all the time, about life. My teacher, Miss Carmay, they called my mom and say, they called my mama name with Rose Jackson, but they call her Lissy. They say, sis, what happened to Doug this Monday? I was looking for him. He's so smart. He wasn't feeling well. And my mom would say, oh, he wasn't feeling well, but he ain't going to be feeling well. And I would get a whoop because I would not show up. Right? So after a while, at Antioch Church, the pastor name was Pastor Swanson. And down at Shiloh Church, the pastor name was Reverend Porter. Well, Reverend Porter had I always remember him because he had like a stiff leg. He had a short leg and a long leg. So he kind of wore like a boot shoe that was kind of like tall. And he used to always be grimacing to me. He got a hold of my ear one day and he told me, if you go to that candy store, Miss Cummins, to church, I'm going to take you in my office and me and you going to have a meeting. I knew what that meant. He was going to get a hold of me. So I started going to church regularly. Started going regularly. 1976 was a bicentennial year. See, I remember this because I was in the sixth grade at this time, and this time is where we had our first graduation. It was my first ever graduation from the sixth grade going to the middle school, which is seventh grade. And that was the same year I got baptized. Reverend Porter baptized me. And I did pretty good up until the eighth grade, which was about around 1978. And then I started venturing out, being a little more on the wild side with the neighborhood guys, and traveling from Argo to Maywood. My cousin, who was like 4 or 5 years older than me, had got their first apartment in Maywood on Fifth Avenue. And at the time, they used to sell weed out the back door. Well, I liked it to get the money. So at the age of 12 or 13, I'd get me a couple bags of weed. I'd sit outside in the back and I'd sell them to the guys. Before they came to the back door, right, make me some money. And this is when I first met your cousin, because him and his brother Kurt, they stayed on the other side of it. But they were selling something else that I wasn't familiar with, but evidently it was interrupting what they were selling, so we had issues. And for months and months, we would go at it. So this is how me and him became friends. We stopped fighting and we became friends. Now, we wasn't friends in Christ or nothing like this. This was around 78. Then I kind of lost contact because I went to high school in 1979. And I stopped going to church in 1979. But I continued to run the street, continued to go to school. I had a little part-time job. Everything was so-so, you know. 79, I started liking the girls. In 79, 80, I graduated from high school. This is when the drug scene started for me. In 1981, I got introduced to selling cocaine. And as I started to sell this cocaine, I'm like, wow, I'm getting a lot of money at this stuff. And my 82, I was in my first year of college at Juliet Junior College. And I was doing pretty well. I had this African teacher. Her name was Miss Driscoll. And Miss Driscoll was about 7 foot tall. Big old African Zulu woman. And she used to beat me up because I would never act like in college. I would come late, this. And she knew I had the potential, but I didn't know it. When she came and got me one day, and she got me in her car and drove me home. And I'm looking at her like, why is she taking me home? Why need you to take me home? And she took me straight to my mom. And she said, are you his mother? She said, yes, I am. She said, look, my name is Miss Lydia Driscoll. And I'm the Black history teacher at Juliet Junior College. And this boy has such great potential, and it makes me mad. And I just said I was going to come meet his parents so I can let them know that I want to take more interest in him, and would it be okay if I pop him aside his head? That's what she told my mom. And I'm like, wait a minute, this one talking about it hit me. I don't know you. And I'm telling you, I forged such a friendship with her that she kept me going to school, got me through school, and then she passed away because, you know, she just up and died on me. And that kind of, like, shook me for a minute, right? And now it's about 1983, 1984. All of a sudden, the drug scene is wild. And I got these connections, and I'm making money, and I just left school, left everything, went to selling cocaine. Just like that. And I noticed, oh, wait a minute, I got the nice beard, deuce and a quarter, I'm selling dope, got the bag, nice girls, it's just going down. Then this is when I run back into your cousin, Derek, about 1984, the summer of 85. And we get together, and we talk and make a plan. Lo and behold, from 1985 all the way up until 1995, we sold drugs, deep in women from Chicago West Side to Iowa City, Iowa City, down to Des Moines, from Des Moines up to Missouri, Kansas. This was our run. We made money hand over fist. And I'm like, man, something wrong. I got money, but I ain't happy. Got money. And my girl, I mean, I ran into the one I've been chasing all my life. She finally gave me time to date. And then she got pregnant. I had my son, Corey. And, 90, like between 85 and 90. And then around 1990, I got in trouble. So I ended up having to go to jail. Now, I was scared, nervous, but I was, like, tired and frustrated, too. So I went to jail in 1992. I only did a year. And it was like I slept all the time. And my body was rejuvenating itself. When I got out in 1993, I was like, okay, I can do this different. So I got a job working for the clerk of the circuit court, Morgan Finley. And I got working over here at 23rd and Rockwell. With the sheriff's department. So I was doing both of those, and they was always saying, well, man, we want to have a party for such and such to get married. And lo and behold, I became the party planner for all of the sheriffs, and then I done such a good job planning parties and setting up these parties that now some of the lawyers wanted me to set them up. Now, they had to come to our office, you know, send a runner to the office the day before to let us know what kind of file they needed to go in court the next day. And then that's how I got in tune with the lawyers. And before you know it, next thing I know, I'm having all these parties. And I'm like, I'm working. But I'm making more money in the evening at the parties you know, setting up the club, setting up the spot, because a lot of these people was influential and didn't really want to be, you know, out in the street part. They wanted to be in cold, no windows, no phones, no cameras, those type of people, you know. And I was making money hand over fist, so I put my buddy in on the hustle, and we was getting money. So this time, it's about around 1999, I get in serious trouble, and I had to go to jail again, because this time, not only did we get caught with a truckload of drugs, the guy that I had driving the drugs, he wants to have a shootout with the police. Then when they get him, he tells me who they were. So now, here I am back in front of the judge. All these people, they were talking about giving me 30 years, but by me being connected, I only ended up getting 10. But I didn't even do the whole 10. I did, I think it was 4.5. When I got out in 2000, I'm saying, nope, it's over with. I'm going back to church. And my mom has sold a big house. So we moved in to a smaller house, and it was just too small. And I told her, I'm going to go to the shelter, because I can't stay around the same area and try to change. So I went to Chicago Christian Industrial League. One of my cousins was running that. She was the director, and I told her, because I need her to get into a program. And she said, are you cleaning? I said, yes, I'm cleaning. Her name is Angel Brown. And I went down there to Chicago Christian Industrial League on Monroe and Green Street in Chicago, right in Greektown. And I took a drug test, and I got into this drug program. And I stayed there 14 months. All the time, I was trying to connect with them, but I could never connect with them. Every phone number I got was wrong. This wouldn't happen. And I was going to church down in the Pacific Garden, just going. You know, I knew something in my spirit was telling me I needed to be where the word is being taught, but I would just go, you know. And then all of a sudden, we connected at one of my old girlfriend's house. And he came in, we connected again, and he was telling me, man, I'm going to church. I said, yeah, right. If you're going to church, it's got to be some kind of plan. You're getting money out of the church or something, because, you know, don't nobody go to church for real. Because don't nobody believe in God, not for real. People go to church because they're old, tired, and sick, ain't got nothing. This is how my mentality was. This is how I thought about church, you know. And so when you stated earlier that you train a child up in which way you want to go, it is so true, because not knowing I had already been trained up and instilled in church values, this is what was drawing my spirit back to that which I knew all the time. So I had to go on to church in the park on the west side of Chicago. It's in 2001. I'm going to this church. I go inside the church, coming from a Baptist background, ain't nothing in the church but women. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Ain't nobody got no woman minister. I've never seen a woman minister. I ain't never seen no woman pastor preaching in no church. I ain't never seen it. I was like flabbergasted. You know, I just could not grasp this woman preaching. So Dad was like, man, you got to hear her. You got to hear her. I'm like, man, this dude, you're going to tell me the truth of what's going on. I'm out of here. So we kept on talking. Like, oh, it's the real, it's the real. So out of that. About a month later, another guy that was working with me invited me to go to church with him. Guess who we ended up going to church at? Right back in the park. And the only reason I went with him is because me and him was locked up in the penitentiary together. And so I went to the church with Brother Ralph, and we go right back to the church. I said, man, I've been here to this church a couple of times. He said, in here? I ain't never seen you. I said, man, ain't nothing but a bunch of women up in here. He said, man, my wife goes to this church. I'm going, and me and her trying to get back together. We were, I said, since we here, man, come on, I'll go back up in there. I went back up in there, and there was a woman up there, and she was preaching about torpedoes hitting in your life. They come like fiery darts, and she was saying, the trick of the enemy was the devil. That woman captivated me. That sermon captivated me. Her name is Sister Prophetess Beverly, and she teaches and preaches now out in Huffington State, but I still stay in contact with her to this day because of that sermon. And she is one of the women that headed the outreach program I mentioned earlier, the testimony. So I started to go to the church, and the second woman I heard come to find out, this was the Way of Life Church AME. Now, I knew about AME churches. I said, wait a minute, how the AME churches got all these women run the show? But I didn't know God had a plan. So I started going. And the lady that was preaching the second time, she said, you've been coming quite frequently. I said, yes, I'm trying to get back to what that I know. And so she took a liking to me. So now, the third time I went is when I met Pastor Carolyn Vessel. And I'm standing myself, here I am, 6'3", 299 pounds at the time. Big black man. It is a big old woman come up in here. Tall, big woman. I said, good Lord. But when she opened her mouth, the Lord was speaking. I couldn't stop looking down her throat. And, man, she spoke with such power, spoke with such diligence, and she was truly in love with the Lord. And I'm like, don't nobody love God that hard. So I'm looking at her. I'm looking at her, fixated on her. And then somewhere later, I kept coming to her. She started talking to me. Then she said, you know what, I'm going to cook you. The Lord told me to cook you whatever you want. I said, whatever I want? She said, whatever you want. And I gave her a whole host of stuff. I mean, I just went off. I said, I like shrimp and grits. And I like chicken and waffles. And I like white northern beans and ham. She just, and you know that lady cooked all that stuff? She cooked all that stuff I told her. And then I went to her house. Me, Derek, and a couple of Ralph. And we sat down, we ate, and we talked all day. So now I'm in tune to going to church, but I am not in tune to the Holy Spirit. I done brought you back from 1976 all the way up to 2000. Here I am going to church. But I ain't in tune to church. I'm going. And it's dawned on me how many people sit in the church every Sunday because this is what we was taught to do. I was just going to church because this is what I was taught to do. I did not go to church to really get in tune to the Holy Spirit. I didn't go to church to really love God. I went to church because I was taught that this is what you do on Sunday. But when I started going and sitting down and talking with her, she said, boy, you know a whole lot about church. And I said, I've been to church before, you know. And we would talk about men. We would talk about how the men need to step up and that a man should be the head, not the tail. And that I should always take care of my wife and children. I should always set up an inheritance and not an inheritance, not only money, but it's sometimes no time, and sometimes you're taking out time to spend time. And she started to talk about time, and she started to mess with my mind about my time, and I started to think, man, I ain't wasting a whole lot of time doing nothing. And telling you, Sister Gilly, about 2002, I started to feel really strange. And I wasn't lacking it because I never knew about emotions. I never knew that men had them like that. I never knew my emotions could open me up like that. And once my emotions started opening up, I started to feel vulnerable. You understand me? I started to feel insecure about myself. And I did not know it was just my emotions. And my wife said, well, after a while, she started like, is you okay? Because you really starting to change around and you're starting to be nicer. You're starting to be a little more politer. And you ain't so angry. I mean, what's going on? And she was like loving the fact that I was spending a lot of time with the pastor in this church. And not only that, she started to travel. I started to travel around the country. Now, here I am, in been everywhere, but can't remember none of it. But now, I'm going to Atlanta, South Carolina, and North Carolina, and, Louisiana, Florida, Quebec, Canada, all in the name of the Lord. About 2004, the Holy Spirit sat down on me for the first time in my life. I was like, wow, I was confused. I was undone. I had a life-changing moment in 2004, I got baptized by the Holy Spirit. I knew then, and my call in my life, I had been wasting time. But God is such a God that he quickened things. But he had to take me through that maturation period where I had to be really shaped into what I need to be, you know. Now, you asked me before about my kids, and I told you one was 30 and one was 11. You know, that's a great discrepancy between that. We're talking about almost 21 years. You think about it. Why did you wait so late to have, you know, I wasn't ready for them, and God knew I wasn't ready for them. I wasn't ready for the one I got. His sister now raised him most of the time. But with this one, me and her, it was like a second chance. I didn't go nowhere without my child. I took her to Sunday school, to church. My wife and me had such a relationship because she really wasn't my wife. I wasn't really married. I could have been with her for 26 years. You understand? We've just been together. I said, wait a minute, you know, this ain't right. I said, Deborah, would you marry me? She said, yes, I would. I said, well, then why come we ain't been married before? She said, because you ain't never asked me. I said, you know what? I love God so much, and I'm apologizing to you. Would you marry me? And she said, yes, I would. Now, Sister Billy, I took my rent money, my bill money, and the little money I had stashed aside, and I called Pastor Bethel, and I told her, I'm going to get married. But my wife said, wait a minute, I don't want to get married at your church. I want to get married at my church. I said, what are you doing at your church? I was confused. So I told her, after I'm going to call you back. Me and I had a talk. So I told him, let's let me pray about this. What do any boy do if his mama's still living and he comes across a situation like that? You go home, right? I went home.
Yeah.
I said, Mother, I got a father. She said, what is it, son? I said, I'm going to marry again. She said, oh, you are? I said, yes, I am, Mom. That is the right thing to do. She said, oh, yes, it is. I said, but she don't want to get married at my church. She said, wait a minute. Let me stop you right there. I'll show you how the wisdom of your mother's job. She said, let me tell you something, baby. That's not your wedding. I said, what? She said, no. That's not your wedding. That's her wedding. If she want to get married at City Hall, that is her wedding. You should let her have her wedding wherever she wants. So our pastor was out of town. And I said, okay, well, let's get married at your church. But I called one of my friends who's a minister and asked him, could he marry us? She said, okay, that's fine. I said, so I called the elder Cornell Cooper. Cornell Cooper told me, he said, Brother Dillon, you can get married. I said, yeah, I want to get married, Brother Cooper, if you would marry me. He said, I'm about to go out of town, but if you and Dale are serious about getting married, I cancel this trip. I said, yeah, well, I'm serious. I took all the money I had and I bought her a ring. I think my little ring cost me about $90. Her ring cost about $1,400, which wasn't no money, but it was all we had. I got her a nice ring. Now, let me tell you how God did this. You know, you just go to the store and you buy two suits and get one free. Any man listening to me know what I'm talking about. Well, I'm a big man. Like I say, I'm about 6'3". Right now, I'm about 400 pounds. But at the time, I was around 290, maybe 301 when I got married. Now, I bought these two suits. They didn't have another suit in my size. So they gave me the seat of his babies. I didn't like it, but it was free. Who don't take free? Because ain't nothing free. Took the heels stuck in my bed closet. Let the suit stay in the back of the closet. My wife got a girlfriend. All she does is sew. She sew for a living. She can make anything. Pants, suits, dresses, whatever. She had been sewing a dress for a couple of years. She didn't know who the dress was for, but she had been sewing a dress. And she sewed a hat to go to the dress and read a hat. Guess what? It fit my wife perfectly. Guess what? The suit I had in the back closet matched the same dress she had, color, like we had designed it or planned it years ago. So we didn't tell. No, we didn't have a way out with it. I got a big family, and my wife got a big family. She called her family. It's 11 of them. I called my family. It's 5, 6 o'clock. We look up Saturday morning. The church was packed. Now, her sister is married to a guy who does wedding albums for a living. He takes the pictures. He does the video. He does the whole thing. So we got an album of our wedding. We have a CD of our wedding. The church was set up. Our other sister-in-laws came in, and they set that church up. It was so beautiful in there. It was like walking into a movie set. Got married. I didn't even have money to take my wife out on a honeymoon. I couldn't take it nowhere. But that's when my family kicked in. I had an auntie. Her name is Janie Smith. She came. She said, Doug, take this envelope. I want you to take your wife downtown, and y'all get the best hotel, the best room, and take her and buy her the biggest steak, and y'all spend the whole weekend down there. She's getting $1,000. I'm thinking about the wedding, but I'm going to do what my auntie told me. So I done it. We had a wonderful wedding. Lo and behold, we got back Sunday. We got up. I said, we're going to church. He said, you know what? I'm going to go. We got up and went to church Sunday morning. Went to my church, and then we ended up that afternoon at her church. So we went home. Got our daughter went home. And I'm sitting there scratching my head, thinking about how I'm going to pay the bills, how I'm going to pay the rent, how I'm going to pay the electric gas. I said, God, I did what you said. You said to stop living in sin. And I repented. I asked her for her hand in marriage. I married her. Now, this is one of your promises. You said you would never leave or forsake me. Lo and behold, who gets a mail from Night Court? Who do you know Night Court sent a check to? I owe you money, but here's a check in the mail for $772 from Night Court Gas Company. I told my wife, it's 11:30 Sunday night. You might as well get up, because I don't know if this is a mistake or not. But I'm going to go cash this check and we can pay rent tomorrow. And that's what I done. And God started opening up more doors. Pastor Lester put me in seminary school. pay for it with our own money. I'm telling you, through that church, I learned so much about African-American Methodist people. Around 2006, the church broke from the Methodists. The whole big to-do, draw out situation, but they left it, the church. And they started doing their own thing in 2006. And God and the Holy Spirit that's been working on me constantly throughout that. Now, what I do is I teach young kids in Sunday school. And I continue to work with the youth. I work with my own family members because the Bible says disrespect out your own eye before you try to work with anybody else. So I try to testify and testimony to my own family about the goodness of the Lord. I'm telling you, Sister Billy, God has been the wonderful things in my life. He has taken me a lot of wonderful places. But there's nothing like being able to sit with your family in heaven. And that's what my goal is. My goal is to get my whole family to see the glory of God. And I work on that daily. I teach young kids about the Bible, but I do it in a different way. I teach it to them because kids like love stories. They like the hip-hop world and all of that. So I teach them how to rap the 66 books of the Bible. And how, once you rap them, and you can rap all of them, I give them a little prize. You know, some monetary, some small, but kids like money. And once I get them to rap them all, then I go back and I teach them how each one of them is a level of love and how we work up to the gospel of God. And, you know, it's just awesome how God opened doors. But it's always the naysayers, too, that will come along. Because even in leaving the A&E church and coming to my wife's church, I was told that I was not a minister. I was told that I was not ordained. When I have paperwork saying I was ordained and ministered, but because it was a woman who was ordaining me, it was not. They told me she don't have the authority to place you in a ministry. She was subservient her a man's authority, and she don't have that right. And I was warned when I was in seminary school by Pastor Brinson, Apostle Brinson, that you're going to run across different sects where women shouldn't have the power that they do. But as I read my Bible, the Lord said he made a rock crowd. If not a rock, why not a woman? And I love Apostle and Aaron Dressel. Yes, I do. I want the mission to know that. And I would never, I don't care wherever I'm at, whatever opportunity I get, I acknowledge her because she took time out and instilled in me that God loved me first. And I could never pay him. I don't care how much money I have, where I go, I could never pay him for what he's giving me. And that's salvation and the opportunity to sit on the right side of the Lord. That can never pay him for that. So with all that being said, it's because I have such a great love for God. You know, I'm going to tell you this thing I really had to get over too. God is a man. And them women used to tell me, Brother Doug, you got to get a relationship with God. I'm saying to myself, well, a relationship, hold up, show you my new thinking, my channel thinking. On a relationship a man should have is with a woman. Now, how can you have a relationship with another man? You can't do that. It's impossible. It's infallible. I mean, it's just not going to happen. But when I realized not the man, but the essence of the man, his spirit, when it shut down on me in 2004, I never forget it because it's been on me since then. and I am so elated. I tell you, my wife, my daughter, I have never been without anything, Sister Billy, since I've been living according to God's will. I mean, I have never had my life set off. I have never been without bread. My seed has never been hungry. My wife has never missed nothing that she knew. God says she will supply all your needs according to his riches, which are in heaven. We have not missed nothing. And I'm telling you, God is still awesome. He lets me lay down. He wakes me up every day. And my daughter, they told me, well, we're going to have to put her in special ed because she's not learning as like she should learn. And I used to say to myself, God, you ain't gave me my daughter for her not to be what you want her to be. You had designed her before the beginning of time. And she is great. She is wonderfully made. I used to talk to him like that. And I let him know the promises that he said. And she was 4 years old. Now, Sister Billy, my daughter got up. She's in the fifth grade. She got a little progress report. And she got straight A's. She's doing wonderful in school. And they're going to tell me she's back when she was 3 or 4. If I had went for that, they'd have had on all kind of drugs, you know, all jacked up.
Yeah.
So listen to what them people say. You better stay in tune to God because he's the only thing that can help you. Only thing that can happen.
Yeah.
So, and all that.
Yes.
Derek introduced me to Pastor Vessel. And for 10 years, Pastor Vessel taught, instilled in me. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit sat down on me in 2004. Behind that, God gave me a special tongue to talk to him. But I'm telling you, I done laid my hands on, I done things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I can't believe even happened. I ain't never been without a vehicle to drive. I ain't never been without shoes on my feet. I ain't never been without clothes on my back. My wife ain't never missed nothing. She goes around and travels and does things. Ask me how I do it, because I don't have the money. God always make a way, though. I pray to him and get out the way. Mother's Day's coming up pretty soon. I send her to a Mother's Day retreat every year, her and my mom. I don't have a dime, but some kind of way, when I get to praying and asking God, it happens.
Yes.
I need to tell you that God is awesome. He's a raymaker. I have nothing but good things to say about my Lord, and I am not one to back down from any challenge that God puts before me, because he ain't gonna give me nothing I can't handle. Like I'm talking with you this morning. Later on, I got to go and do a seminar on vacation Bible class. We, start that season. God just used people. And people say, well, Brother Doug, where'd you get all this teaching from? And I tell them, Kevin L. Vessel, Apostle Kevin L. Vessel, she taught me. She. Right now, me and my wife, we go to the church that I told you about in the beginning of this hour. We talk Antioch. And the pastor there is Pastor Nathaniel Randall. And he's a powerful man. And I respect the office of the pastor. I respect the fact that God chose him. But for you to tell me I'm not a minister, I didn't argue with him about it. You know why I argue with him about it? Because every time I read my license, he said he stood before God. And God accepted that choice. And out of all the years, it's the first somebody ever told me that. But that ain't nothing but how Satan tries to get in and manipulate us from working with one another. From like even with your show, when I talked to you, you know, you told me that Derek didn't want to do this show. And I'm like, wait a minute. Anytime God opens the door and give us an opportunity to give a testimony, it's somebody out there that's going to hear that testimony and say, man, my story ain't so bad. Or if he did it, I can do it. If she did it, I can do it, you know. And I just thank you for the opportunity this morning. Yeah.
I got that wrong, Brother Doug. I got that wrong. He said that he was working on Saturdays, and that when he has a free Saturday. Yeah, I got that wrong. He straightened me out. He told me that. Anytime.
I'm glad. Because see, we are children of God. All of us are instruments, and if you got the tenacity to get up and start a radio show and work in your ministry for God, and you ask another saint of God, I don't care what denomination, what background you come from, if they could come and give a testimony to help heal the body of Christ, then he or she shouldn't have nothing else to do but to do that. It should always be yea and never nay. Always yea and never nay when it comes to the Lord. Always yea. Never nay when it comes to serving God. And I'm telling you, my testimony is to those who literally are in sin right now, those who are shacked up. If she's good enough to sleep with, she's good enough to marry. Those who are doing drugs.
Yeah.
If you're doing drugs, stop. Because if you can sell somebody some drugs, you can sell somebody a car. You can sell somebody some drugs, you can sell somebody a house. Get your life together. Repent of this, and God says, you be quick to repent. You'll be quick to forgive. The testimony, Sister Billy, is to those who don't have no children. God will be just like Abraham and Sarah. He'll give you some kids if you start living right. My son, my wife just sitting at the table, she said, I told my son 30. She said, "Nah, that boy will be turning 35 this year." And my daughter 11. God knows what he's done. He made some mistakes. He can't make a mistake. My wife said that the table listening to the conversation. Yeah.
Amen. Apostle Carolyn. Powerful woman. I did meet her, and she's a powerful woman. She's a powerful woman. And I just thank God for you coming on, Brother Doug, because that's what I say. Nobody's testimony is too small, and nobody's testimony should be held back from the broadcast. And when the Lord gave this ministry to me, And I shared it with Evangelist Adrian Bernard, who's on the line, and she just was so delighted, you know, that the Lord had given that to me, and she knew immediately that it was from the Lord, because we used to have testimony service in church, and people would get a chance, but now this is something that's broadcast around the world. This is not just confined to the four walls of a church.
Right.
This is something that's broadcast across the world, and to hear that in these days that God will take somebody off the street selling drugs practically all of his life to come to the place where now he's serving him the way that he served the devil. You're serving him even with more zeal than you did the devil. And it's something that people need to hear. Somebody is stuck out there that don't think that they can be delivered.
That's right.
Don't think that God can clean them up and turn their life over. As you were talking, the Lord dropped Psalms 37, 4 and 5 in my spirit. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And that you're a walking testimony. You're a walking testimony, Brother Doug. You and your wife, walking testimony. Even your daughter, even that you spoke over your daughter. You didn't listen to what man was saying to you about her, but you proclaimed and decreed and declared that she was perfectly made, hallelujah,
right,
and that she was going to be an asset to the world.
And not only
and
the world,
and you're claiming
the kingdom. I brought her up in the way that I was brought up. I brought her up in the love and the spirit of the Lord. And I teach her every day how to pray. Our prayer together is like this. We pray like this. Father God, so far today, I've been pretty good. Help me to stay that way. I want to teach her ministry, how to be humble, how to understand that it is not a blessing. It's more than a blessing that you got TVs to watch, you got computers to play, you got tablets, because this kid somewhere ain't even got a piece of bread. They drinking dirty water. God is teaching you not to have you to come up that way. So be thankful, humble yourself. I teach for that. And then I do it like my mama did me. I make sure she goes to Sunday school, go to the choir. Why? Because what you instill in your child while they're young, if they stray away from it like I did, the Bible cannot lie. Them 66 books is the truth. And it's a love story. And God is so in love with me that when I strayed away and decided to turn, it was something to turn back to. He was there with open arms.
Yeah.
He was there with open arms to embrace me. And then not only to embrace me, he's there, the gift that I put down inside you don't come to fruition. Because my son came and died, that it might be, you might have life. And so now the gift of talking and communicating and teaching young men how to become humble and meek and take back their leadership position and how to pull your pants up and button down your tie and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, open the door and take a get up out of the seat when one. These type of moral attributes that I'm teaching these young men is the same thing my mom and daddy have taught us. Nothing is different. Nothing is new. It's just been forgot about, overlooked, became unacceptable to, you know, to open the door for a woman, to say, excuse me, miss, or to say, yes, ma'am, or to say, no, sir. Those things is a, what? That ain't how you talk to people. So I do all that inside of them because it was instilled in me when I was young. I wouldn't have had it either listen to Pastor Jackson if it wasn't been for my mother, Rose Jackson, putting me before God at an early age, giving me back to who had gave her to me in the first place. So with that being said, I am just grateful, humble this morning that I had the opportunity to come on your show and to give that small testimony. And if it don't fall on nobody else, it fell on mine. It enlightened my soul. It lifted up my spirit. I'm full of joy. I'm happy this morning. And it's 8 o'clock in the morning. I've been praising God since 6 o'clock. Wake up with a praise in my mouth. Woke up saying, God, bring back to memory the things that you want to have me say. The things that I can remember, God, bad and good, let the testimony be true. So that somebody, somewhere, if they hear, can be enlightened, a seed can be struck inside of someone this morning. So I just once again thank you for the opportunity.
Amen. Excuse me. Amen, Brother Doug. And I thank you for coming on to encourage, to enlighten, to lift up the name of Jesus, because he said, if I be lifted up, all men will be drawn unto me. So you have lifted God up this morning, and I thank you so much for coming on. We all have a testimony, and that's what I want to say to our listeners. I'm going to open up the line, and will you answer some questions if you have some questions? I have a few people in the line. Okay, amen. But we also, you can go into the archives and listen to the broadcast. You can listen to the broadcast of New Destiny Ministry. Evangelist Bernard is an awesome woman of God, and her broadcast is Monday through Friday at 4 o'clock my time, which is Eastern time, 3 o'clock your time, and 1 p.m. Her time, because she's in California, and she has men and women on her broadcast that bring the word of God.
Okay.
Our broadcast, what the Lord gave me was, what is the manifestation of what they're being taught? What is the manifestation? Oh. That's the testimony that we have in the scripture he gave to me. Of course, it's in Revelation. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life unto death. They loved the Lord so much that they would die for the word. They would die for the word of God. And it's powerful. It's powerful. You're teaching young men. And what better teacher could we have than a man that stands in your stature to be able to stand before young men and teach them that humility.
Mm-hmm.
Humility. My husband is 6'3", and I young men and women look up to him, and I think it's his stature, you know, because he's a humble man. Baby, are you there? Are you there? Huh?
I'm here. And I just am really delighted and excited about the testimony that went forth. I was thinking how that we are made in the image of God. The Bible says that man is made in his image. And image is something that you can see. And when I think about who God is our hope. The Bible lets us know that God is hope. And what I see in Brother Douglas is the image that people can see of hope, of being delivered from what they're in into what God would have them to be. So we just thank God for the image of God that has gone forth today, just showing that image of hope in God. And I'm just excited about the testimony today. It's just inspiring. It's exciting. It's awesome. And everyone who hears, you just know that God has an answer for you. God has a place for you. God will take care of you. And we just thank you for portraying that image of hope, Brother Douglas.
Yes. More welcome, Pastor. Yes.
Amen. We have a caller. 219 is the area code, and 6204 is the last four numbers. Are you there, caller? They hung up. Okay. Well, some people are just shy, and that's why I say that if you're too shy or you don't feel confident enough to come on and give your testimony, just send it to our email address, and that is theyovercame2013@gmail.com, and we'll read your testimony for you. But I don't want to say die, but for lack of a better word, don't die with your testimony in you. Let the world hear what God is doing for you. Let the world know that our God is still in the saving business. He's still in the delivering business. He's still in the healing business. Brother Doug, we've had such awesome testimonies. We have had a brother here in North Carolina that was dead, and God raised him up. And he is an awesome man, and he is being used by God in such a business sense, because we all have, God has a different ministry for each of us, and
yeah.
in his ministry, he is bringing people into wealth. Okay,
okay.
The kingdom needs money. You know,
yes,
don't look down on those that prosperity message, but people have it twisted. They think that prosperity just means money. It doesn't just mean money, but the kingdom needs money.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The kingdom needs money. So that's his ministry, Brother Cornell Richards. That was his testimony. But God raised him from the dead. He was dead, flatlined. And his wife said, no, I'm not accepting that. The saints rallied, you know, at his bedside, and God raised him up. And I think that it's been, he knows to the hour how many hours it's been since the Lord raised him up. So that was an awesome testimony. Then we had a testimony of a brother, Bishop Corinthus Patterson, and he fell through his roof. And God positioned him. He fell on his hip, but he said that the way he fell into a bathroom, he said there was no way except for God that he didn't hit his head. He fell from, I guess, like, I don't know, because I don't know feet like that, but with a tall ceiling. He was up in his attic trying to repair something, and he fell through his fell through the roof. Through the ceiling, and God positioned him so that he hit his hip. But his testimony was that they told him that he wouldn't walk for months and months and months. He walked into his doctor's office, and it was such, the people recognized, because he's a man of faith and talked faith all through the situation that he was going through, even at his doctor's office. And when he walked into the doctor's office, everyone just applauded, because they could see what God had done in his life.
Wow.
So we've had some awesome testimonies. We've had your friend. We've had Brother Daryl, and we've had Sister Charlene this
uh-huh.
month that have given their awesome testimonies. We had last week we had a sister that is a double lung recipient of a double lung transplant, and how she said that her body is real small. She said she's really small, petite woman, and how the Lord designed this lung so that it would fit her body. Now, God can give you a lung, but
yeah.
that's the way he chose to heal her. And we're praying for her, and I want you to be in prayer with us that the lung is received into her body. She said she's had no rejection, and that's a miracle. She hasn't had any rejection. Her body hasn't rejected the lung, and we're praying that she's a singer. She's a singer, so we're praying
okay.
that God will bring her to the place where she can sing the praises of God again, the praises
yes.
of God. And then we had also last week, we had a young lady that was on. God used her to write a book about, she said people would just walk up to her and start telling her, you know, what the problems that were in her in their lives, and how God delivered them from the problems. And so out of that came a book, and she said, but her testimony was like your daughter. Her son was not progressing the way that they said that he should be progressing, and she said that he was on medication. She said that she would, every day when she had to give him the medication, she would tell him, you're not going to be on this for the rest of your life. This was something that they told her he would have to be on for the rest of his life, that he would not develop, and he would not walk. And now he's I forgot how old she said he was, but she said everything that they said that he would not do is what he's doing. To God be the glory. So our testimonies, the testimonies that we have had are powerful. I just want to admonish those that are listening over the internet that call in and give us your testimony or send your testimony to us so that people will know the God that we serve is a miraculous, awesome, a words just cannot express what our God is to us and how faithful God is to us and how he loves us. He, like Brother Doug said, he so loved him. He so loved him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That he's brought him from where he was to where he is now, living for him and lifting him up. I just get so excited. It feels like when back home, and I'm originally from Chicago, and we used to have testimony service, and the testimonies would be just so awesome that we would tear the church up, shouting and
yeah.
giving God praise. And
them services
be
on so good. We have service one morning, Sister Billy. It was just testimony.
Yeah.
And when everybody got to, and the Holy Spirit got to coming through that place, Pastor got up and said, "You know what? The doors of the church is open." She just opened it up.
Yes.
Everybody want a prayer? She said, "The Lord has been came in and cleansed us and brought forth testimony, and everybody that ministered to everybody, I can say this service for next Sunday." And some Sundays,
yeah.
the Lord do that, you know. But to your listeners, I just want them to know that God is a rock. In Psalms 18, it says that when David is singing one of these songs to the Lord, he says, "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, and whom I take with
yes.
me. He is my shield
yes.
and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." See,
yes.
in the midst of going through things sometimes, we need to hold on to God. And see, I myself, with my wife, I'm going to give you a little smart testimony of her testimony. My wife had cancer in one of her kidneys. It hit me so hard, it felt like somebody took a sledgehammer and knocked all the wind out of my chest. I took her to McNeil Hospital in Bergen, Illinois. They supposed to have the best doctor. The doctor said, "Well, we're going to have surgery." I said, "Well, do what you must." They had to take out her left kidney. It was cancerous. But the good thing the doctor said was, through the x-rays, the kidney has concealed all the cancer within itself. It's got it all whole right there. So we go in now and get the whole kidney, we can get all the cancer out. Well,
yeah.
I said, "Go ahead on and do what you got to do." Now, all the time, I'm waiting and walking and praying and walking and praying through the hospital. I was supposed to be in a certain waiting room, but I couldn't sit still. I had to walk around. So over the loudspeaker, they called, "Mr. Brown, could you come to such and such waiting room? The doctor's going to talk to you." Well, when I turned the corner, it was like five or six doctors standing there. I'm like, "Oh, I almost fell down to my knees because I thought she had died." I got to the doctor holding to the wall. He said, "Mr. Brown, we got the kidney out, but your wife has some more issues. Once we opened her up, we've seen that everything had been blocked down. And we need to check stuff back up where it needs to be, or she's going to have some more problems." I said, "What you mean? Everything, her spleen, her heart, her kidney, everything that's had been blocked down." So a lit surgery that was like maybe 2 hours, 3 hour surgery, they turned in to about a 6 or 7 hour surgery. But lo and behold, she's sitting at the table eating breakfast right now, looking just as good and beautiful as she ever looked. And I can't tell if they took that out of her. God is just good. You understand what I'm saying? I know
he's
from home and trouble places. My daughter, they told me, anytime I look at her and look at this paper with all these A's on it, I just jump and holler for joy. Because don't let nobody tell you or put no stigma on you, tell you what you can't do. But, you know, that's that Judas complex. You know, we all need one something in our life and somebody to tell us, you ain't going to be nothing. You going to have to take this medicine all your life. You ain't going to do nothing in life. You can't be no good child player. You can't play the piano. You can't play the saxophone. You can't beat them drums. Because they want to stay. The devil always throwing fire and dark. They want to keep you down, keep you saturated in misery, keep you frustrated, keep you from being who God designed you to be. When all the time, all you want to do is play that saxophone. All you want to do is beat them drums. All you want to do is play on that piano. All you want to do is, you know, do what's in your heart.
Yeah.
Get up and give God the glory for that day. Live that day exceedingly and above. Anything you ever could want to do that day, do it. God is the type of God, Jesus, whatever you want to do down here on this earth, when you pray and loose it on this earth, I loose it in the earth. And my daughter back there in her room, right, she know more about this computer and tablet than I do. Show me she love me. She go to school. Ain't nothing like when your child come home from school with a good report. So they say our kids can't do that, you know. And I ain't being facetious. It's just what they say. Then what I found out by communicating in the church and listening to different ones, because there's a lot of ladies in the church that teach in the public school system, is that they want to put your kid on Prozac. They want to put your kid on these girls young. And a lot of folks go for it because the government will give you a check, but they ain't doing nothing but experimenting drugs on your kids. And then you wonder why they shooting up stuff, why they killing stuff, why they acting crazy. But see, what you need to read your word, Sister Billy, we just had our Passover here last month, Easter, in Luke the 23rd chapter, when God says in that 34th verse, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." That's a lot of times people focus on just that verse in that scripture. But if you go up and read around about the 27 or 28 verse, it says, "Women, don't cry for me. Don't weep for me. Weep for your children." And that's what's going on right now today. Our kids are killing each other. Our kids are destroying each other because they don't know God. The strongholds have been torn down. The strongholds ain't there no more. This is really a stronghold. Like when I was coming up, I had on my daddy's side, Grandma Shield. On my mama's side, Grandma Lucinda. See, I had big mamas, you feel me? I had big mamas to hold on to. You know, big mama told me, "Your daddy ain't got but one child, and that's you." And I used to say, "Mama," I said, "Mama, why big mama always say that?" She said, "Boy, your big mama speak her tongue. What she say to you this, that? My daddy ain't got but one child. My mom wouldn't be my last, right?"
Mm-hmm.
But she do this testimony. "My daddy has some more kids. They're all dead. One of them right now, he's had a massive stroke. His name is Brandon Aldrich. Pray for him. He's in Rush Hospital. He was in Rush Hospital. Now, I don't know much about Brandon, but it's my father's son. So I got up one morning here week before last, And my wife said, you need to go to the store because your underwear looking kind of raggedy. So we went to the store, and I go shop over on Ashland and 47th Street at the Big and Tall Man store. Went over there, walk in, and we get the underclothes, and I look up, they had shirts on sale, so I bought me two of them too. And we're coming down Ashland to go to the expressway. Lo and behold, before I get to the expressway, it's Rush Hospital. So I pull over, and my wife said, why are you pulling over? I said, you know what? The Lord is trying to tell me something. Yeah. I said, because I told you the other day, Brandon had another stroke, and they told me he was in Rush Hospital. But I don't know where. I had a friend who works at Rush Hospital, and he is over all of the food that goes to all the different patients. So he could find anybody. So I called him. I said, Mike, he said, yeah, what's up, Doug? I said, you ain't working? He said, yeah. I said, look up Brandon Aldridge and tell me what room he is. He said, who is that? I said, that's my half-brother. I'm just trying to check in on him. He said, oh, okay, I'm calling right back. He called me back and told me, oh, no, they just moved him. They moved him right now. I said, well, they moved him too. They moved him over to Westlake Hospital over there in Melrose Park. I said, okay, long story short, God had brought me right there to the foot of him. I was about to go see him, but they moved him over to Westlake. Now, when I get over to Westlake, because I didn't go right away, they didn't move them again. So pray for Douglas Brown and pray for Brandon Aldridge this morning, because I really want to get to see him. They say he's in a coma and he don't know nobody, but they said the same thing about my father. And when I came to my father's bed, he called my name out. So I just believe God is sending me to see him. And I need the courage to go and see him, you know. So pray for me for that. We got to do that. Appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah, we're gonna pray for him right now, honey. You want to pray for him? Brad Aldridge, you said, right?
Yeah, Brandon Aldridge.
Father, right now,
wait, babe, you dropped. Okay. I'm sorry. I don't have you on.
Right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. We look to you as our source. You are the giver and the preserver of life. And right now, Lord God, you are the giver and the preserver of health. Whatever, Lord God, is going on, we just ask that you move by your spirit, touch, heal, and deliver right now. And Lord God, just touch Brother Brandon right now in the name of Jesus and give our brother the courage and the inspiration and, Lord, the anointing. You know why you're sending him there. And by faith and his obedience as he goes, Lord God, then let your will be done in this life. And let there be healing. Let there be salvation. Lord God, whatever it is you're sending them there for, let your purpose be served. And we just trust you and we thank you, knowing that it's done because you do everything well. You do everything perfectly. And that nothing that you send out can come back void. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Right now, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Sister Billy, I got to run. And I really appreciate the time this morning. At 8:30, I got to go do a teaching at 9 o'clock, so I got to get the ball.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and God bless you, and God bless your wife. We hold you guys up in our prayer.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, we thank God for my brother being on. Oh, my goodness. We have had some powerful testimonies We have had some powerful, powerful testimonies that have gone forth, and God is glorified this day. I know that He is. I know that He is. And I'm going to open the line up. Sister Adrienne is on the line. Are you there, Sister Adrienne?
Hello.
Sister Adrienne?
Hello. Praise the Lord.
I thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Did I catch you off guard? No, I had my phone on mute.
Oh, okay.
God bless you. I heard the testimony. From the young man that came forward, I'm telling you, there's no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do the same thing for you. So we bless the Lord
for that. We've had some powerful testimonies this month. Powerful testimonies. Thank God. Thank God. God is still in the healing. He's still in the delivering. He's still in the saving business. He's still doing the things that He's done, you know, from the very beginning. And I just thank God for every testimony that goes forth, every testimony that we receive. The Lord is glorified. And did you have something to say to us this morning, Sister Adrienne? Are you just listening this morning?
Just want you all to continue to announce the citywide crusade. I'm excited about that and getting some feedback on some people that's going to be coming down and participate in that. So begin to start announcing that, and I tell you, I'm just excited about what God is doing. Just a little brief testimony to you all. My car had blown a gasket on my car just about, it's been about a month, really. I think it happened on the 25th of March. Somewhere in there, I believe it was just like a week after the anniversary of my daughter's death. And so I've been having my granddaughter and my niece and one of my spiritual daughters just bringing me here and there. And I was, you know, I didn't worry about it. Usually I'd be all in a panic, but I did not worry about it. And I said, Lord, I didn't want to put no more money into this vehicle. So this past weekend, last Friday, I was over to Sister Ruby's house hosting the broadcast, and she had some strawberry shortcake there from Safeway. And the strawberries sat on top, and when we cut into the cake, the strawberries was bad. And you know me, I said, oh, this stuff, ain't nothing wrong with this stuff. It ain't going to kill me. Girl, I told my stomach up. I tell you, I had to go to the emergency room last Friday. And I tell you, I didn't get over that sickness till like maybe early Tuesday. I was still feeling a little symptoms even on Monday. But that Saturday, I was going to... Prophetess Harrison was renewing her wedding vows, 34-year anniversary that Saturday. So before I went to that, the Spirit had spoke to me to just go on and look for me a car. And so I told the Lord, because I wasn't feeling good. Remember, I'm still, you know, had this thing with my stomach from that Friday. But the Spirit spoke and said I had my niece's car, Glenn's car. Said, go on out there to the auto mall. So I rode out there, Minister Billy Ella Burns, but while I heard that Spirit speak to me, and I knew it was God, And I said, now, Lord, you know, I'm not feeling the best. I said, so I'm going to go on out here. And I said, I just want to visit two dealerships. I said, so if one don't work, that second, I'm only going to two. So you have what I do to get your will. And I tell you, I went out there, Billy. Oh, God, I tell you, God is a wonder. And I don't praise God
yes.
for things because I stand on Matthew 6:33. I stand on that scripture that it, but seek ye first the kingdom
yes.
of God and all his
yes.
righteousness. I live by that scripture. He said, all these things will be added unto you if you just please God, if you just serve God. So I went, Billy, and I tell you, that first dealership, I was looking for a little Honda, just like my niece, Glenisha, had, because it's a gas saver, and ooh, you get it does great with gas. And I said, well, I'm going to go and get me a little used Honda. I wasn't prepared to get into no buying no brand new car with one of these expensive car notes. And I said, so when I went there, you know, I began to, you know, how these salesmen do. I told the man, I said, look, man, let me just be real, which I was born to sell. That's something that's just what I do. It's a gift. I said, so I'm not going to waste your time, and I'm not going to allow you to waste mine. I said, now, I know what I want. I would like to find, like, a 2009, 2010 Honda, but this is what I want to spend. So he began to show me some used Hondas for 14 and 50. I said, if I'm going to get a used Honda for $15,000, I may as well get a new one for 20. And so I said, Lord, no, this is not what I'm looking for. So I rode from Mary Elder Burns to the next dealership, and all of these, about three or four of those dealerships owned by the same company. So I just rode from the Honda and straight to the parking lot, not crossing those streets, straight down the parking lot was a Fiat dealership. And I rode in Glenisha's car, and I passed and seen what they had on the lot. And there was a car there, you know, and I ain't been in a Mercedes in 14 years. So I looked at car, Billy, the car was waiting on me. It had my name on it, and I knew it was God because I told him I didn't want to go but the two dealerships. That second dealership
right.
that was sitting there waiting for me, and I tell you, I started some of the paperwork, but I wasn't feeling the greatest, and I wanted to hurry up and get home and get prepared to go to Property Terrace's event. So I did a little bit of the paperwork, gave them my Social Security number where they could pull my credit and all of that. So that Sunday they were trying to get me to come back out. I said, oh, no, you know, I won't be out there. I'll be out on Monday. So that Monday, they were looking for me to come out early, but, of course, you know, I had to do my broadcasting. I don't let nothing interfere with my assignment. So they had called me about three or four times. You approve, you know, come on out here. So I had one of my little spiritual daughters drive me out there, and I told the Lord what I wanted to spend and, you know, what I wanted, something comfortable. Girl, I tell you, I went on out there, got that car. Billy, I tell you, when you look at the car, Ella Burns, you think nobody ever drove this car. The seat and everything, a Mercedes-Benz E320. Got it for what I was looking to spend. Hallelujah. My name was on that car, that the Lord had that car waiting for me. And it was no sorrow. It was no hardship. I mean, it was a smooth transaction. I got it for what I wanted to spend, less than what I had asked the Lord to allow me to spend. Even the note on the thing was less than what I asked the Lord for. I tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I rode off the lot on Monday morning with that car. And I began to just thank God, Billy. I tell you, I say, Lord, now when my daughter was murdered, my last car was a 190 Mercedes-Benz, and my daughter had just bought a brand new Lexus. The Lexus was 6 months old when my daughter was murdered. 1999, brand new Lexus off the showroom floor. And I began to think about all that. I tried to get her to buy a house and move to Atlanta, but it just wasn't in God's plan. And I sold that 190 because of this new Lexus and kept that Lexus for about 6 years and what have you. And this last car, we had bought it for KVL, and, you know, she messed up and everything. So I took the car back. So I drove that car from 2010 to 2013, and it did what God had it to, what God wanted it to do for me. But then I began to just reflect, Billy, and I said, Lord, even the broadcaster, you know, I named that. The Lord gave me that title, A Time of Reflection. And I had to do some reflection even on this past week, and even been thrust into another situation where I have to, not have to, but it's on me to move. And all of that, God knew this was going to happen this weekend, and he knew I was going to need a vehicle to start the moving in the transition period, the transition process, and God has done that. So I'm waiting this morning for my spiritual daughter and her husband to come and help me, and I just tears begin to just well up in my eyes, because you know what? God promises, like the young man has testified on today. When you stand on the promises of God, I tell you, the scriptures become alive in your life. The things that you quote and you preach and teach to others, and you know, you're telling them to exercise their faith. You're telling them to trust God every day. And then when things arise in your life, you kind of get a little complacent. And you're like, well, Lord, you know, and Sister Ruby, you know, she began to speak in my spirit. She said, well, you preach and teach faith every day. You're telling people to believe God. Not that I wasn't believing God, but, you know, sometimes you want to wait when you know your bank account, when you know things are right with you, but it's not looking at your bank account. Trusting God is not looking at where you're at that time. Trusting God is believing, taking that word, and everything you preach and teach about, you have to exercise it in your life. It has to become applicable to your life. And I just marveled. Mm-hmm. So I went and got, I'm going to cut it off at this. I went and got my little grandbaby, KVL little baby, yesterday. So we were over to Sister Corinthia. And I began, this little baby, about 1 year old. And I began to think about my daughter at the age of 3 and 4 years old, how she would dance. And, you know, she had to be the life of the party. So we would go over there and I'd sing a little song for him. And I had all the kids singing the song. And he was just dancing. He got, you know, just a little tune that I rhyme and say, I know a boy named KK. All he want to do is play, play, play. So all the kids were singing that, and he was just dancing. And I began to think about my daughter, and I said, Lord, the spirit lives on. The spirit lives on.
Yeah.
My daughter and this baby. And I said, well, look at this. And everybody had about probably about 10 or 12 of us outside. And that little boy, everybody was singing a song to him, and he was so excited, Billy. He was, after we finished the song, he threw his hands up in the air. I said, Lord, I thought about my daughter. I said, Lord, this would be her grandson. He's my great-grandson. And that spirit just lives on. So the spirit never dies. You know, and the good thing, children, and the good things about your loved ones that, you know, lead this life and what have you, you can embrace those good things. You can hold on to those memories. And you know what? Those memories get you through some of your most difficult times, your most difficult moments. And you think about your loved ones that have gone on, and you remember the good things about them, they'll get you through a situation. So God is a great God. I thank God for those testimonies that came forth. And even while you were talking about the different testimonies, I said, well, she's doing a reflection right now. I was thinking about a time of reflection. So I just thank God gave you this to do, Minister Burns. And don't be discouraged because of the numbers. Go back and look at the Blog Talk Radio stats and see how many people go in the archives and listen to this Saturday program. They may not be on here live, and I tell you that all the time, but look at the stats.
Yeah.
Don't be confused about the number. Look at that name that came on this morning. Somebody's going back and hear that testimony. So you're doing a good work, honey. Be encouraged, you and Elder Burns. Be encouraged, because the best is yet to come.
Amen, amen. And we receive that. Hallelujah. We receive that, Sister Adrienne. And I just want you to know that we're not discouraged. If nobody, I know that other people are being blessed, but if nobody's being blessed, we know that we're being blessed by hearing the testimonies. And then I do look at the stats, and I see how many people that listen to the broadcast, go into the archives and listen to the broadcast, and that's what, you know, I always say. And yes, we are so excited about the crusade that we're going to have on September the 1st of September. We talked to Bishop. My husband talked to Bishop, so we're and then he talked to Bishop Corinthus, and so we're working hard. I got my cousin who is gifted in doing that. We're excited. We're excited about what God is doing. And
we have some people come on the line, Minister Burns, that is in Houston, and I have some people right there in the Carolinas. So we're getting these people ready. We're going to have some block and lock the dates cards going out, even though we haven't gotten the venue yet. But I can feel, I know it's God, and I know it's God. I am God from Birmingham. I want us to come down there early next year and do a citywide crusade. So it's God. You know, God's timing is not our timing. But one thing about God, whatever vision, whenever he gives you a vision, hallelujah, that vision is going to be manifested. That vision is going to come to pass. We just got to hold on to the vision. We can't get discouraged. We can't let situations and people start murmuring and gossiping and trying to discourage you. When you know God has given you something, guess what, baby? You'll be committed to it, just as you are committed to this segment. They overcame. You are committed to it, and God, you get excited about it because it's something that God birthed in you. And people not going to get excited about what God has birthed in you. But you got to keep that excitement, and you got to know that God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, guess what? His blessing is upon it. Yes, glory to God.
Oh, yeah. So hallelujah, hallelujah.
I announce the show every time I talk about mine. I talk about this Saturday segment. Hey, glory to God. So, honey, God is doing it.
Yes, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we love you. I just want you to know that we love you, and we're praying for you and the family. And you just had a new great granddaughter born. And I was telling Al about it. I'm talking about you.
Congratulations.
To you, congratulations to you. I don't have a new granddaughter. Well, she's kind of new, but she's your great granddaughter by Derry.
Oh, yeah, gosh, girl. That's another story. a little girl, I have to tell y'all that privately. That's another story, okay? Yeah, I forgot all about that man. She was born, I think, was it Thursday morning? Yeah, I think Thursday.
Yeah,
morning.
Day before yesterday. Yeah, yeah, that's when you told me about it. So
God. Keep her in your prayers, Ella Burns. Keep Darielle in y'all prayers. I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah. But you know something, Evangelist, I just want to encourage you that, like Brother Doug was saying, what is in them? I don't care what it looks like. You just keep believing God. You put into those kids what need how able Sata. You put into those kids what God would have you to put into them. And I don't care what the devil brings to them. I remember when Mark was younger, and he is an awesome husband, an awesome man of God now, you know. But he went astray. He was doing whatever he was big enough and bad enough to do. But now I look at him. He's an awesome husband, like I said. He's an awesome father, you know, and I see the wisdom in him. And, you know, we got to just do what God tells us to do and put our kids in his hands and know that they are going to be. She's going to be the woman of God that you put, that you labor to put in the God into her. She's gonna come forth, Adrian. We believe that. We believe that. We believe that. We believe God. Like Brother Doug was saying, you speak those things. Yes, she needs prayer, but we believe in God that our prayers are not in vain. We believe in God that all of the children, from Derry, she's the oldest of your grandchildren, down to Nino. Yeah, we believe in God. We believe in God. We believe in God. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So you just hold on. You just hold on to that. And I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it seems like. I don't care the words, because they can say some cutting words to us. Now, they can say some cutting words to us. But God knows. God, we see the outside, but God sees the heart.
We just
believe in God. We just believe in God. God is in control. He's in control. He's in control. And after the situation with Chris, you know the situation with Chris. There's nothing that God can't do.
Hallelujah.
There is nothing that God can't do. Hallelujah. Nothing. And I just want to give a little testimony. John is on track to be a loan officer. That's not his ultimate goal. He wants to be an attorney, but he came out of college, graduated from college, and he had a roommate that was living with him, and the roommate couldn't find a job. So his parents were, you know, paying his rent and everything, and then eventually he had to come back home. Then he had another friend. These were because he was a wrestler. Another friend that he went to high school with, who's a little older than John, graduated a couple of years ahead of him. But he couldn't find a job, so he had to move back home. I told John, I said, God is not going to have you like that. You are going to get a job. You are going to be able to stay in your apartment. Just started decreeing and declaring things to him. Lo and behold, he found a job. The man hired him. He was so excited. He said when John took the test for the position, he said his test score was off the charts. He said he was so excited, you know, to for John to start working for him. And he's proven it. He's passed. He's passed a national test that he had to pass, and then he just recently passed the state test that he had to pass. And you know, he's going into the financial field. Your credit has to be not perfect, but it has to be good. Well, because he didn't work for a minute, he's a little behind in some of his credit cards. And so I told him, I said, well, baby, I said, God got you this job. God has helped you pass these tests. You passed the test with the strength of God and the knowledge of God. I said, we're going to believe God that he's going to, when it's time for you to get this promotion, you're going to get the promotion because God is going to, if he doesn't give you the money to pay it off, he's just going to wipe your slate clean from these credit cards. He's behind, you know, he's behind in it. But I said, we believe in God. And so when I text that to him, he said, that's what I'm praying, Mom. So we are in agreement. We had, you know, I hadn't said that to him before, but we're in agreement because what we put in our kids, Adrian, is what's in them. What we put in our kids, the life that we live before them, I don't care what they do, the life that we live before them, just like Doug was saying about his mom and how his mom, you know, made him go to summer Sunday school and made him go to church and even had people checking up on him that he didn't know was checking up on him, but they were checking up on him and was able to tell, you know, his mom. And so even though he wasn't really interested, he knew that they were checking on him. So he was in church when he, you know, other kids weren't in church. It's in them. It's in them. It's in them. So, you know, we just believe in God. We just believe in God. We just believe in God. And we can't forget, like you said, reflecting. We can't reflect. I always say, I don't want to be like the Israelites. Because God was doing miraculous things in their eyesight. And they would always forget. You know, they would always forget what God had done for them. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like the Israelites. I don't want to forget the things that you've done for me. I don't want to forget about those things.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord, hallelujah. So you be encouraged. You be encouraged, my sister. You be encouraged, and you know, whatever the situation, know that God is in control. God is in control, baby.
Thank you, Jesus,
honey.
Hallelujah.
You're not. I don't hear you. I hear you in the living room, but end us with a prayer, babe. End us with a prayer.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Are you muted? Okay. Go ahead.
Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. Lord, we just thank you for everything that has transpired this day. We thank you for the words of testimony. We thank you for the words of admonition. We thank you, Lord God, for the words of encouragement. We thank you for the words of healing and deliverance. We thank you, Lord God, for just everything that you've done and that you're doing in us, through us, for us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we look to you right now as we have come to the close of this session, hallelujah, of reflecting about how just good you are, how faithful you are, and how much hope that the world has in you. Lord God, let your words go forth and let them be anointing and healing for everyone who hears in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you for even the testimonies that will come because of what people's ears have heard today. You are such an awesome God, and we worship you and we thank you. Hallelujah. Every need, let it be met right now. Healing, let it go forth right now. Hallelujah. Deliverance, miracles, let them be wrought in the name of Jesus because of the faith that has been stirred up from the words that have gone forth. In the name of Jesus, even those who will listen in the future. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. Move in their behalf. Hallelujah. And for the kingdom's sake, to your name be the glory. Hallelujah. To your name be the honor. Hallelujah. To your name be all praise. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And we are going to keep everybody posted about the crusade, and we're praying that the saints of God will be praying with us for the crusade, and be sure to tell your unsaved loved ones, because we don't want to just preach to ourselves. We want to have the unsaved, our loved ones there that are not saved, so that they can hear about water, the seeds that have already been planted, and then the new seeds that we will be planting. We just want everyone to be praying with us, for us, that God's perfect will be done in the crusade, and tune in to New Destiny Ministry, A Time of Reflection with Evangelist Adrian Bernard every day from Monday through Friday, and then on Sunday she has prayer at 10 o'clock my time, 7 o'clock her time, Pacific time, and her broadcast, New Destiny Ministry, A Time of Reflection, comes on every day, 1 o'clock her time, 3 o'clock Central time, and 4 o'clock Eastern time. And, of course, listen to and send in your testimonies to New Destiny Ministry. To Dale Buchanan. Send in your testimonies. You can send them in to our email address, dayovercame2013@gmail.com. We'll be looking forward to having your testimonies and reading them over the airways. Don't leave here and let your testimony leave with you. Tell of the goodness of God. Tell of what he's done for you, what he's doing, and that he can do the same thing for everyone like he's done for you. And until next week, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. And listen to our theme song, We Just Want to Praise You, by Moret Brown. Amen. God bless you. Goodbye.